The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Matthew. Today you're going to hear what is surely the most demanding and the highest morality that Jesus will ever teach. Something that probably none of us live up to, but all of us should. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other as well. If anyone wants to take you to court over your clothing, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go too. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on anyone who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. I say to you, you must love your enemy. You must pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. He makes his sun rise on the good and the bad. He causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. If you just love those who love you, what's so great about that? Do not even the tax collectors do as much? If you greet your own brothers and sisters only, what is so unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? No, you must love unconditionally, just as your Father loves you unconditionally." This is good news from the Lord. All three of the readings today are so momentous and important. I wish I had longer, but actually I have shorter because we have a little announcement after my few remarks. Let's just point out in the first reading, from Leviticus, it's in the middle of the 19th chapter, where there's about 29 listings of what you should not do. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And the only time Jesus quotes the book of Leviticus is here, with the one positive statement. In the middle of all the negatives, there's one line that says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And that's the only time Jesus quotes the whole book. Then we have him building on this in this gospel that, as I said, none of us live up to. And yet we know we should. Can you imagine how different Western history, Christian history would be if Christians had even tried to operate in this way? To love not just those who love them, but those whom others might call your enemies. Because, of course, if you love your enemies, they're not enemies anymore, so you don't have any. This demands the highest level of conversion, transformation, enlightenment, awareness, use whatever word you want. But the very fact that most of us cannot imagine doing this probably shows that we're not enlightened. We're not transformed. He gives us the motive at the end of the gospel. He says, you are to do this because this is how God treats you. Now, if you haven't experienced God loving you unconditionally, even when you were, as it were, an enemy of God, you can't imagine knowing how to do this. You don't. Most people live in a world of 2 + 2 = 4. Tit for tat, quid pro quo, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Admit it, that's the way we all think. He did that to me, I'm going to give it to him back. To rise to a higher level of conscience, of consciousness, is purely the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't obey this gospel alone or without God. You can't. There was a story by Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch woman who had been imprisoned and tortured during the German Holocaust and the Second World War. And she was released. They didn't kill her. But she always nursed such fear of ever meeting those people who had imprisoned her and killed many of her relatives. And she wondered, what will I do if I ever see his face? This man who was so cruel to me. And sure enough, it happened. One day she's walking down a major street in Amsterdam, and she sees this Nazi guard coming directly toward her. She freezes, she sweats, she fears. She prays, and at the very last moment, she's able to approach him and put out her hand and say, "Good morning." But she said the grace to do that only came in the very last second. She did not know if she could do it. And of course, she emerges a much larger woman, a much greater woman than the man who could not love, who could not even love his neighbors or his enemies. Brothers and sisters, as I said at the beginning of Mass, to harbor in your heart grudges, resentments, angers, and to keep replaying them over and over again. I know a lot of people who live their whole life that way. That's their daily agenda. That's the food they eat, is who has done them wrong. Someone said you might as well walk around with a big rubber mallet just pounding your head and thinking it's going to hurt the other person. Doesn't hurt them. You're just destroying yourself. Jesus' teaching on love of enemies is frankly just enlightened self-awareness. When you don't love, it destroys you. You were created for love, even in your mind, even in your heart. And we've had momentous examples of this in the last century. Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, great men who could love their enemies, so we know it's possible. And yet, they all said, each in their own way, that most Christians they met never did that. Jesus taught us to. We claim to be his follower, but frankly, it's not because we're bad-willed. We just don't know how. Unless you call upon a larger life, a greater grace, a bigger love than your own, you'll never know how to do it. And until you experience that larger love flowing through you, you have no assurance that you are in Christ, that you are transformed, that you are at even the early stages of conversion. We can come here to church all of our life, and it isn't going to make a bit of difference if we don't become loving people. It doesn't make a bit of difference. In fact, you're wasting God's time. Thinking that perhaps you are an enlightened person, when in fact, and I've met them, many people who go to church are more racist, more hateful, more negative, and more bearing of grudges than some people I meet who don't go to church at all. So Jesus gives us today in this gospel the basics. It's about love. And if this service, if this sermon, if this celebration, if this communion is not steeping you in a love that is larger than your heart, your own stingy heart, and what it isn't capable of on its own, then we have not yet become truly children of God.